Vicky Hyde is a familiar name to RNZ's listeners. She's a science writer and editor, as many people know, and former chair of the New Zealand Skeptics. She also owns a New Zealand-based software and web development company with her husband, Peter, and she's been honoured for her services to science. But Vicky Hyde has another life entirely, and in that life she is Baroness Catherine Kerr of the Hermitage in the Crescent Isles. And it's in that capacity that she joins us this morning. Your Excellency, good morning to you.
And to you, Jim.
In fact, you have been a queen, even more excellent in this other in this other life of yours. Can you explain how you've been a queen?
Yes, I'm a member of the Society for Creative Anachronism, which is an international medieval and Renaissance research and recreation club. With about 80,000 members worldwide, and every 6 months, the group which covers Australia and New Zealand, known as the Kingdom of Lochark, holds the crown tournament to decide who's going to be the next king and queen, or king and king, or queen and queen, depending on who wins the tourney.
Okay, so you're queen no longer, and is it today that a new king begins his reign?
Yes, we have, as I mentioned, every 6 months we have this tournament, and so yesterday we had the coronation of the new incoming king and queen of Lochark. We stepped down ourselves in November. There's been a king and queen following us, and the tradition goes on. We were the 42nd crown of Lochark. The society itself has been running for 60 years, so it's a good long track record.
How do you become king or queen?
Well, we have the crown tournament in which combat is undertaken with sword and shield, and whoever wins that tournament becomes king by right of arms, or sovereign by right of arms, depending on the gender or gender identification, and their partner becomes the consort of inspiration, grace and courtesy.
You do in real life, Vicky, I think, have a background in combat archery, don't you?
Well, in real life and to a certain extent, combat archery is something that we practice in the SCA in our war scenarios. We have low-powered bows and arrows with rubber stoppers on the end so we can shoot them at each other. It's very satisfying being able to hit your husband right in the middle of the eyes.
Without pain. So a lot of
without pain.
A lot of fighting goes on, I think, though, with weaponry just as weighty as in the Middle Ages, the sword and shield sort of fighting. Do people get hurt?
Well, no. We actually use rattan as the basis for the swords. So that's like that very solid kind of bamboo-y stuff. It's very good because it doesn't splinter. It's relatively safe, but it means that our fighters can fight at full speed and unchoreographed. If you're using a real sword, of course, you want to be much more careful. So as we commonly say, we want to kill our friends. We don't want to injure them.
So we're off to war, put the garden furniture into the wagons. That's about it, really.
Yes, indeed. And when we have the armoured combat, you're required to have protective padding and metal over your elbows, your knees, your kidneys, your cervical vertebra, and of course a nice solid helm with well padded on your head to avoid any actual injury. And our combat is undertaken on an honour system, so you train and practice and you learn what a good blow would be, what the flat of the blade would have been like, and it's agreed upon the field who is winning. So it's quite an honour-bound system, and that ties into the SCA's basic principles of courtesy and chivalry.
Okay. So you're fighting as they would have fought in the Middle Ages, but as you say, more swiftly because of the lighter rattan.
Not necessarily more swiftly. It just depends upon your training and stuff. The thing is, we have fairly small groups, and our tournaments can range from, say, half a dozen people through to 20 or 30. Our camps can range from, or events such as the event that we are having this weekend, from 150 or so. We have 300 at a year-long encampment, which is held in Canterbury at the beginning of the year every year. And some of the groups overseas can be much larger. There's the Pensac War in the States, which has 10,000 people camping for 3 weeks, being medieval. And when you see 2,500 people on the war field charging, it's really quite stirring.
What do you get out of being medieval for 2 or 3 weeks?
You learn all sorts of things. It's a great thing for families because it's very family friendly. There's things for kids to do, is right through to the adults. There are people who are willing to talk to you at the drop of a hat about how to create armor, how to embroider something, how to write a beautiful hand and, with a quill pen. It's sometimes called the hobby of 1001 hobbies because it's an entire world. So we're recreating all the kinds of things that would have been in that world over 1,000 years of history.
Oh, yeah, you're explaining it well. How many people, so you've got 150 or so there this morning. Whereabouts in Christchurch are you?
We're actually at one of the parks and halls that we use typically.
Right.
The idea is that we try and get places that aren't too surrounded by traffic and the modern day, so that you can, if you squint hard, you can almost pretend that you're there.
Right.
Of course, the group in Europe has the advantage of castles down the end of the road, so they get to use those.
Yes, of course, they would. And people come from all walks of life?
Yes, we have all sorts of people. There's not just history students. We actually have quite a big tranche of IT people for some reason, blinking out of the basement and into the light of the world. We have people who've worked on things like Lord of the Rings and Game of Thrones. We have health professionals. We have musicians. We have craftspeople. I mean, one of the great things is if you're a calligrapher, for example, you can belong to the Calligraphy Society in New Zealand and you can make lots and lots and lots of Christmas cards, beautifully penned. But if you join the FCA, you're highly regarded as a scribe because there's always a need for writing, you know, official royal letters and correspondence and writs and scrolls and award. So you can find a bigger world to place your craft or your interests in. And if you get bored with one thing, you can switch to another. My husband started off as a combat archer and a target archer of great skill. He finds actually the administration side of things really fascinating, the people management.
Yeah, I can see the sets of skills you've built up. That's interesting. So as your own reign began as queen, your reign in Canberra, you acknowledged your special heritage in Te Reo, didn't you?
Yes, that was actually quite a surprise. We were the first Kiwi crown, my fighter consort and I. In 20-odd years of the Kingdom of Lockark, Australia and New Zealand operating. So people were very keen to have a New Zealand crown finally arrive. We had our coronation in the Barony of Politicopolis, which is, as you know, Canberra.
And the what?
Politicopolis. It's a play on the fact that it's a political hub of Australia, of course.
Okay.
And at the very end of the coronation ceremony, this young man stood up in a hood and came forward, was called forward. And I'm thinking, who is this chap? What's he doing? Took his hood down, and I would squint, and I would go, oh, my God, that's my son. I never expected to see him at an SCA event. He stopped playing when it became uncool to be seen in weird clothing with your parents. And he gave a full mihi in Te Reo
nice.
To discuss about the kuinitanga and the kingitanga, and to say, to present us with taonga, because in recognition of the fact that we were Kiwis and we were had this whole medieval history and whole family side of things and our whakapapa there, but we also had our whakapapa to our Ngāti Maniapoto tupuna. And that was absolutely lovely to be able to do that, and to do that in an Australian context really blew people away. And I had somebody come up to me afterwards and they said, you might think that, you know, took us out of the medieval kind of feeling, but it actually felt as if we were listening to ambassadors, and it was marvellous. It was a broader stretch of the world.
Yeah, no, that sounds lovely. And you were crowned on the same day as King Charles, just with a little less media coverage, I think.
Just a little less, though we did get squinted at in the airport, passing our crowns through the security x-ray machines, and they were saying, have you come back from Britain? And I said, no, we've been at a coronation in Canberra, which got a little confused look.
Vicky Hyde is with us. If we were to go back for real, you know, pre-1600, where you are, we'd find the reality of life, though, would be a bit grim. Is that fair to say?
I think so, certainly. You only have to look at the stats for the death rates, for example, the child mortality, which had a whole effect on the population structure, or the childbirth deaths of women. And that's a pretty grim. And of course, you know, in 1348, when the Black Plague arrived in Europe, and you have one third of the population dying, I mean, we had it bad with the pandemic, but goodness gracious, thank goodness for modern medicine and hygiene.
Yeah, thank goodness for it, all right. A lot of people, Vicky, a lot of people in the world disappear into fantasy realms online now. No surprise, given the state of the real world, I'm assuming. And I'm also assuming that what you do, you would see as a lot healthier.
Well, certainly in the sense that it gets you out from out and about, sitting around in a nice park, watching people fence, watching people undertake archery, hearing somebody talk about how to make glass beads in a Viking style. It's learning, it's socializing, it's outside, getting vitamin D. It's all the things that people are told that you do to remain healthy and to have a more sociable world. So I think that's a great thing. I mean, we shifted a lot of stuff online during the pandemic phase. I guess part of the thing of having quite a lot of IT people made it useful that we could give those kinds of lessons online. And in fact, the entire known world, the 20 kingdoms that make up the SCA groups, got closer in doing that. But nothing really compares to having 200 people on a site with the kids playing tag or off on a quest and hearing the combat behind you and the huzzas from court and the musicians and singers practicing over in a corner and for the ball that's going to be held that night. It's a lovely way to be social, to learn and to make connections.
Yeah, I can see it's enchantments. What would have been the enchantments back then? You know, given that when people were fighting with weapons, it wasn't fun. It just wasn't pleasant. What would we have liked more about life generally than we do today, do you think?
Well, I think people are the same. I mean, that's one of the things that is interesting to find those connections with people who lived 500 years ago when you read their letters, for example. I mean, you've got the Tudor court, for example, the Elizabethans and their tournaments dressing up and pretending to be Arthur and Guinevere, which, you know, we've been known to do ourselves, or pretending to be Romans, having toga parties. And I guess one of the things that's nice about what we call the current Middle Ages is it's the Middle Ages with all the good bits. So indoor plumbing, yes. Hygiene, yes. A certain degree of Victoriana romanticism and high romance, and I guess that stems from the injunction which we have. We have two rules in the SCA, one of which is make an attempt at pre-1600s gear. It might be as plain as a simple tunic that you can throw over your mundane clothing, but make an attempt. And the second rule is treat people with chivalry and courtesy, and that's not a bad thing to live by.
No, it's not a bad thing to live by at all. I couldn't help wondering if in 1500 or 1600 they looked back at life in the year 1000 with rose-coloured spectacles, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if they did.
Well, possibly. I mean,
I wonder if they thought life was simpler back then and all those things.
I think it's not uncommon for humanity to think that the grass is greener on the other side of the hill, whether you're looking back in time or looking back over the hill at the greener grass.
Well, you've suggested a great song we can play, which I'm grateful for, and we're about to do that. What do I say? All the best for the continued flourishing of the society. And I came across a medieval farewell I was supposed to use or can be used, and it was "Go well and be met whole," whatever that means.
Ooh, that's a nice one.
Oh, there you go.
Huzzah!
Huzzah! Did they say that?
That's how we end our courts.
Ah, right. All right. Very good. So you're having fun in Christchurch, and where do you go from here? You run a series of them across New Zealand and Australia.
Yes, well, we will look forward to our next Crown Tournament, but in the meantime we have the new King and Queen to celebrate, and we'll continue with our feasts, our balls, our archery combat, our dancing, our crafts, anything that creates the world pre-1600s.
In a nice way, the nice bits of it. Vicky, yes. Hyde, all the best for today. I'm having fun in Christchurch. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks, Jim.